Bonfire, and welcome to Saturday Morning Teacher Talk. I'm going live normally here at 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern. Things got off to a bit of a rocky start in this edition, thanks to some technical issues, so I'm giving this a take two, if you will. Thank you for joining me again, live or on the replay. This is a weekly conversation that I want to have with you, fellow educator and colleague, as we get into some of the posts on X that have really provoked my thinking and inspired, encouraged in some way, maybe got me going or thinking in some sort of controversial direction. Whatever it is, I appreciate the input from teachers and educators around the globe. And so that's where we're going to start this morning. Let's jump right into it with a post from my friend Che over in Toronto. He says, "On Truth and Reconciliation Day, we acknowledge the painful history of Indigenous communities in Canada. It's a day to reflect, learn, and take steps toward healing and understanding. Thank you for this, Che." And you can see this Indigenous artwork, "Every Child Matters." So if you're not from Canada, basically what you're looking at is an effort on our part as a country to reconcile with our Indigenous friends and neighbors and to acknowledge that some of our colonial history was not so pretty, and that's putting it nicely. So we have some work to do to restore relationships and to repair some of the damage that has been caused in past decades and centuries. And we're going forward together as a unified country, noting that every child is important. Every child matters. One more post from Ashley Aoki. She's at Miss Ashley Aoki. Again, similar themes. She says, "Today was an important day. Today, learners engaged in a school assembly, a reflective walk, and individual classroom activities. This month, we began a year-long conversation about our colonial history, a history that deserves to be told through truth." She's got some great pictures from her school community. I see an eagle made up of feathers. I would assume probably one feather from every student in the school, and my community has done something similar. We've got a book that she recommends, The Secret Pocket by Peggy Janicki, and we've got a note from a student. Something I learned is we can respect the people who made it out of residential schools and people who didn't make it, and it's true that many did not. He also notes here, no school Monday. Thank you for that. And that is, if you're wondering, that is due to a new national holiday that falls on September 30, or in our case, in this particular case, it would be the next work day. So Monday is a stat holiday, and teachers welcome the additional break from school, even as we note this very sober occasion. And then here are a couple of items, again, noting every child matters. "I was out in my orange t-shirt. Many of our schools, most of our schools across the country called yesterday, Friday, Orange Shirt Day." And again, that is to acknowledge the National Truth and Reconciliation Day, this annual moment where we pause to reflect on our past history and the work that remains for us to do as a country. Moving on to teacher to teacher, at teacher to teacher, as they are known here on X. I thought this was a really positive way. My voice is cracking, I'm so excited here, but this is a really positive way to end the week. They've got TGIF, it's a photo created and shared by another teacher, SELebrate You, so celebrate you, starting with SEL, social emotional learning, a little play on words there. She or he made this poster, and I thought I would share it because I thought this could actually be a really helpful, useful sort of a tool in our classrooms, on the TVs, in our hallways, whatever it might be. So here's the new TGIF. We're all familiar with Thank God It's Friday, but here's the new TGIF. Starting with T, what did you trust in this week? So if you are joining me live and you're able to write in the comments or on the live chat, let me know, what did you trust in this week? What got you through the week? Maybe is another way to ask that, to frame that question. G, what were you grateful for from this week? And I'm always a fan of asking the gratitude question. So what were you grateful for from the week. Letter I, what inspired you this week? What inspired you? And F, what was fun this week? What really made you laugh and gave you some positive energy this week? So it's the new TGIF. What did you trust? What were you grateful for? What inspired you? What was fun? And I just think that could be a really nice reflective tool for middle schoolers, elementary students, maybe high schoolers, if it's not too gimmicky or contrived for them. Thank you, at Teacher to Teacher. And I see someone is showing up here live in the comments. We've got from Facebook, Mornington. Awesome to see you do more video projects. Thank you so much, anonymous Facebook user. I don't know who you are. And I think StreamYard does something where you need to be signed in or something like that, or you need to give them permission. I would love to be able to recognize who you are. But thank you for that. Awesome to see you do more video projects. Well, yes, and more will be coming today. I've got some really exciting news. Oh, it's Eric Geis from the Got Teched crew, and he's got a great podcast and YouTube channel as well. So check out Eric Geis at Got Teched. Thank you, Eric, for that. Let's keep it going. Keep it rolling across X. I've got a great question here for you, and this was based on some professional learning yesterday. What are some mental fitness activities that have a positive impact on your ability to manage challenging situations in your daily work? And in the professional learning context that I was in, there was an encouragement to use the term mental fitness instead of mental health. And so, you know how we would say physical fitness instead of physical. Generally, we like to talk about physical fitness, and it's a very positive oriented thing. So this is not a politically correct situation where you can't say mental health or something like that. But maybe a better way to think of it is mental fitness as something that we can improve. We have some control over, we can work on it. And I appreciated that approach a lot. So I asked that question at my teacher account. What are some mental fitness activities? Here's what X Land said. I've got to come up with a better name for teacher Twitter or teacher X Land. I don't know. Brian Lamb says, I do 4-7-8 breathing several times a day. Thank you, Brian. I don't know what 4-7-8 breathing is, but I assume controlled breathing of some kind. Natalie Vardabasso, great friend on X, says, meditation. I aim for 3 times per day at 3 minutes each using the Insight app. Jennifer Lynn Teaches, another friend of the show, says, deepest breaths I can take. Hold and then let go slowly. Another great friend and colleague from Burnaby, BC, Livia Chan, at Livia Chan L. She shares a number of them. She's got Cultivate My Own Joy, Reach Out to Someone to Uplift Them, Practice Gratitude and Smile, Breathe, Take a Brain Break, Eat, Share Thoughts and Feelings with Someone I Trust, and Find Someone to Hug. She also says, Take Care of My Heart, Ask, Is This Serving Me? Whatever it is that I'm working on, is this actually serving me right now? And then I like this one, Visit a K-1 class. Absolutely, you're guaranteed some smiles and you'll feel a little better after you spend some time with the littles. Okay, I want to move into kind of a controversial quote, and I didn't think it was that controversial, but based on some of the feedback that I'm going to show you, or one pushback, I'll let you make up your own mind, teachers, how you feel about this. So I quoted someone named Cindy Shapiro, who is an author on Medium.com and happens to be a contributing author to the Teachers on Fire magazine. I thought this quote was really great. She said, burnout is real, but we can achieve a slow burn. It's the only way to make it as a teacher or in any profession, really, if you want to stay for the long haul. Well, how do you feel, teachers? If you're joining me live or in the replay, let me know how you feel about this comment of a slow burn. Is that an apt metaphor for the work that we do? I will share my own comments here in a moment, but the school doc jumps in, and I don't know the school doc's real name. We have another anonymous account here, but the school doc comes up with a lot of fiery takes and pushbacks on X and LinkedIn. I've seen him. So he says to this quote, the comment about the slow burn, he says, is this for real or parody? If for some reason this is real, wow, that's horrible. If this is true, I say quit now. Why would you agree to be tortured? That makes zero sense. I'm hoping this isn't real. Wow, what a fiery pushback from the school doc. Well, here's my take. Burnout is real, but we can. So Cindy is saying, hey, listen, burnout is a thing. We know burnout is a thing. We know colleagues who have fallen to burnout and have had to leave the profession. We know burnout can be a thing. But what if we say that teaching is a slow burn? And by slow burn, we're talking about the energy is intense. We know it's exhausting work. We give everything of ourselves toward teaching, toward the classroom. But we can stay on fire in kind of a slow way, if you will. And hopefully for as many years, for the duration of the season that we are in the classroom. I think it's a respectful metaphor. I think there's nothing wrong with that slow burn, but the school doc, he doesn't like it. He's quite angered by it, and he thinks if we feel this way, we should quit. So let me know where you land on this, teachers. Moving on to one from Joy Kerr, a longtime friend of the show and an interviewee once upon a time here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. Joy says, I've been collecting quotes for years from books, shows, etc. This year, I'm collecting them from seventh graders. I'm also collecting wins for each week. These both help me to stay in the moment and appreciate more of what's going on around me through chaos and through calm. This probably belongs in a thread with the other mental fitness activities, but thank you, Joy. I like this idea of collecting wins and quotes from seventh graders, just focusing on the positive, bringing up a collection over time, and maybe at the end of the year, there's enough there for a coffee table book, but certainly some fond memories and laughs as you reflect back. That's really, really important. Speaking of reflecting, Jarrett Lerner shares this wall at a school he visited yesterday. Educators' promises to their students, handwritten and out in the open for the kids to see every single day. Well, thank you for this, Jarrett. Very cool idea. And before I move on, I want to zoom in on this picture and look at some of the quotes that he shared. He's got from one teacher, and if you're listening to the podcast, these are all written on a black wall, written by teachers in different colors, so students can walk up to the wall and check them out. From Mrs. Collins, I will make sure every student knows they are loved and wanted. From Shola E, I will serve as their biggest fan. Love conquers all. From LaMarca, I will make every student feel like they are able to achieve their goals. Maybe one more here. I will continuously learn and grow alongside our students. From Mrs. Perry. Thank you for that, Jarrett Lerner. Great share and great idea. Wow, making public commitments, inspiring stuff. From John Gordon. What a way to start every day, I thought. He says, number one, give thanks for another day. Number two, look for the good. Three, choose faith over fear. Four, replace have to with get to. Five, be a blessing to others. Six, attack the day with enthusiasm. Seven, show up and do the work. Awesome, awesome stuff. Thank you for that. Well, we are moving toward the final segment of the program. This is from John Soash, good friend of the show and longtime supporter of the podcast. He says, while I am sad that Google is ending support for Jamboard in 2024, there are a lot of great tools that are as good or better than Jamboard. Here are my three favorites. So first of all, moment of silence. Moment of silence for Google Jamboard. It was so good. It was so helpful and I really enjoyed it. Students being able to throw on those handy post-it notes, and they added some features to make it better. They added document history and a number of other drawing features. So good. And Google has announced they're getting rid of it. So no thanks to you, Google. We are sad to see it go. But John Soash is here to give us some alternatives. And he says, scrolling down a little bit, he says, here are three alternatives. Number one, we've got Google Slides. Now, Google Slides, okay, kind of an alternative. It doesn't really function as a Jamboard or as a bulletin board, a whiteboard maybe is the best way to think of it. It doesn't function that way and it doesn't really facilitate easy post-it notes, but you could do it. You could make it happen. You could manually place post-it notes, add comments on top of post-it notes and that kind of thing. It would function a little differently, but it's possible. I'll go down to the third one, then come back to the middle one here in a moment. So Canva Whiteboard is, I think, probably on this list has the greatest potential in my mind. Canva Whiteboard, a good set of whiteboard tools, pens, sticky notes, shapes. The template library is huge. That is also true. I've used the Canva whiteboard in the past and not been thrilled with the resolution, just the size of everything. It somehow doesn't feel like they're making the same good use of the space. Maybe I need to minimize some of the menus at the sides just to create a larger workspace for the Canva whiteboard. But I know Canva does have live collaboration, which is a really, really big feature. It's kind of necessary if you're going to use whiteboards effectively at this point. The third one, or the middle one here, I have not tried. I've never logged into FigJam. And part of my reluctance is that we just haven't needed it, thanks to Google Jamboard. And a lot of these programs, or most of these programs, if we're asking students to log into them, then we need to have student permissions in place. We need to have family permissions in place, right? We can't just have our students running all over the internet, creating accounts with their school account and sharing their personal information. We've got privacy policies in basically every jurisdiction against that. So I would, a long story short, I would need to have my school add FigJam to the whitelist of websites that we have permission for. But maybe that is something that I should start exploring more, because Google Jamboard, as our friend John Soash reminds us, is deceased. Technically it's not. Technically it's still running, it's still there, but Google has said, I think by the end of 2024, something like that, in the next year or so, they are going to stop supporting it and updating it, so you will no longer be able to use Google Jamboard. Friends, thank you so much for joining me. This has been really fun. It's kind of my weekly opportunity to connect with you and share some of the views and news from around X that are really provoking my thinking, sparking my thinking, warming my heart, and igniting my practice. There we go. I hope that is useful to you as well. If you're watching on video, I will timestamp all of these questions so you can jump straight to the question that matters most to you. And until next time, take care, share an encouraging message to lift up a colleague in these challenging times, and keep your own fire for learning burning bright. Bye-bye.